How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Knox Manning in Hollywood, taking you on another brief journey behind the scenes. Once again, we draw the curtain to watch a fragment of forgotten drama, a story of people and places already hidden in the background of destiny. Today, we're going to meet a young man whose military failure was to prove a great boon to his country. But first, a word from a familiar voice. And now, step with me behind the scenes to an historic setting on the banks of the Hudson River, West Point, home of the United States Military Academy. It's a day in January, and the ground is white with snow. It's mid-morning, and the cadets are packed into the classrooms and lecture halls, preparing to take their places as the future military leaders of their great nation. Eager young men whose names will someday take their rightful place in history. But in a small, austere room in South Barracks stands one whose thoughts are far removed from classroom activities. His name, too, will ring through history, but for a far different reason. He's a slight young man with clear gray eyes and an unruly shock of brown hair. Among his classmates, he's a retiring but legendary figure. Though he seldom participates in their activities, tales of his exploits on the high seas and his adventures in the mystic lands of the Orient have spread through the cadet corps like wildfire, and his scholastic activities are the envy of his less clever brothers-in-arms. Also, his military background had borne promise. For on his return from the sea, he'd enlisted as a private and in a few short months rose to the rank of sergeant major, from which he'd secured his appointment to the academy. But the tempestuous years he'd spent as a rover had left this young man ill-fitted for life at West Point. Having been free to wander where he willed, he didn't take kindly to the discipline of the cadet corps. So little, in fact, did discipline affect him that during the previous 2 weeks he'd neglected practically all of his duties as a cadet, preferring to sit in his quarters and scratch upon a sheaf of manuscript paper. But the course of military justice is swift, and he must now face the inevitable answer to his flagrant breaches of conduct, court-martial. With a final check on the correctness of his dress, the young man left to hear the charges against him and plead his cause. Across the snow-driven quadrangle and into the room where the board of officers that were to decide his fate awaited. No one in the room stirred as the charges against the young cadet were read, a list that seemed never-ending. Formations he'd missed, roll calls he'd failed to attend, guard duties he'd neglected, and finally, most insufferable of all military offenses, 2 instances of disobedience to the officer of the day. At last, the long list of charges and specifications was heard, and the young man rose to defend himself. Facing the court, he pleaded guilty to all but 1 specification, the one alleging his absence from parades and roll calls. But this was clearly the most patent, the most obvious of all his misdeeds. By this clumsy defense, he'd only succeeded in shutting the gates of mercy upon himself. The court found him guilty and passed a sentence of dismissal from the academy, thus closing for all time a military career that had seemed so promising. Now, before the conclusion to our story, a word from your announcer. With his dreams of a military career shattered, the young man turned to literature and became one of the outstanding figures in the American world of letters. His works are read and quoted throughout the civilized world, and his poem, The Raven, is as familiar as the face of an old friend. Yes, the man whose failure at West Point brought such a wealth of beauty to American literature was Edgar Allan Poe. This is Knox Manning inviting you to join me again at this time for another journey into that dim half-world where chance and destiny lift men out from behind the scenes. This is a Hamilton Whitney radio production transcribed in Hollywood.